open field. 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown! Oh, baby, this kid's pretty good.
You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
The Thunderdome, especially on homecoming, is just not something that you want to allow to get rocking, and they really, really did.
I don't think you could ask for any better. Maybe one more completion to go 11 for 11, but that kid was fun to watch.
Their wing spot is pretty loaded. I mean, you got Jared's going to play. I mean, he's as solid as it gets at the two spot.
Here's your host, publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglum.
What's up, Bison fans, and welcome back to another episode of Bison Report Radio. I am your host, the publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglum, and joining me for his second appearance in as many days, Sam Westrick. Sam, how are we doing?
Not too bad. Tough one for the Bison last night, but hopefully they bounce back tonight.
Yeah. Quick recap for those of you that may not have caught the game or the final score last night. North Dakota State started out just awfully. I think started 3 of 17 from the field, were up, I think, 7-2 at one point, and then were quickly down 19-9, you know, kind of wide scores like that at the beginning. Just could not put the ball in the basket early. Had a nice little run to end the first half to pull within 7. I think that was big for them. And then spent a lot of the second half in that 12-10 point range. Had a couple of kind of furious little runs. And then ultimately pulled within 1. Jarius Cook steps in front of, I think it was Friedel, who was looking to pass, or maybe it was Arians looking to pass.
I want to actually say it was Winget.
Okay, it was one of the lefties.
One
then.
Of the boys.
Winget threw a pass, maybe it was out to Friedel, and was called for a block. The official that was standing at half court,
50 feet away.
Yeah, changed the call. Said that Jarius Cook was in the restricted area, gets 2 free throws. Richmond flips out. Does not get teed up, though. I'll give him credit for that. And then ultimately, the Bison are forced to go into the free throw game. The free throw game works out okay. They get Arians to miss his first free throw of the season, and the Bison had the ball down 2 with 9 seconds left. But kind of a fumbled exchange between Sam Griesel and Malik Harden-Hayes, and the Bison don't get a shot up, end up losing 77-75. But Sam, I feel like, you know, the line in Vegas was 8.5, and Dave doesn't care about that for a second. But the point I'm trying to make is this was not a game that North Dakota State was expected to win. They were just kind of expected to keep it close, and they had the ball in their hands on the last possession with a chance to win the game. Again, a loss that exceeds expectations, but Coach, at the end of the night last night in his press conferences, really sick of people patting his team on the back for exceeding expectations in a loss.
Yeah, continued, and it was something that he echoed even when I was there. It's moral victories are cool. They're great, but that's not what keeps you hired. That's not what pays you. That's not what makes you successful. You know, you go 0-30 with moral victories, you're still 0-30, and you're not playing past February.
Right.
So he... And it makes sense, too. I mean, they're just so close. And what he had stated so many times last night is that these guys can play. These kids can play. It's just, it has to be for 40 minutes. It can't be for 4 or 5, maybe even 10-minute spurts. It has to be for a full 40.
For sure. And I think, you know, Dave is honest. And I don't think he would ever tell us, if he did have a team that wasn't very talented, say it outright. But I believe him when he says he thinks these kids can play. He mentioned last night that this might be his actual favorite group of kids. No disrespect to any of the teams
right
before him, but really likes this group of guys. And it is a group, and that's something we're going to talk a little bit about later on in the show, because right now they kind of seem like a captainless ship, which is fine in one way, but in another way, I don't know if this team knows who the man is.
Right. Yeah, no, you can only go so far without a captain. You're all going to be doing the same thing. You try and do the same thing, but you need one guy to be able to take over when you're in situations like we were last night.
Yeah, and so, I mean, I think the chance that North Dakota State has right now is to maybe identify Sam Griesel as that guy. thrust into an unfamiliar position against what equates honestly to four high majors. I mean, Nevada, like we said yesterday, was just very recently a top 10 program in the country. Nebraska is obviously a high major, and then two top 10 teams in the country, both true road games, you know, playing it at the Clink and then playing at Fog, thrust into an unfamiliar position. And I think he came out the other side a lot stronger. What does he do in his first opportunity playing point guard against a mid-major opponent, who, by the way, is a pretty damn good mid-major opponent?
Top 10.
28-7 with two turnovers. I mean, Sam was exceptional.
Well, what was exciting to see more than anything is that he wasn't, in the first couple of games, even against Kansas, you'd see him try and attack a little bit, but it was late in the shot clock. He was constantly almost looking to try and find a teammate rather than take it himself. And he got in a couple situations last night where he had to take a shot and nailed it. He was 3-3 from beyond the arc. And I think with Sam, more than anything, it's once he sees that ball go in, it's a confidence thing. And I mean, that's most basketball players regardless. You see one drop, especially with how, I mean, I don't think he touched the rim on any of his threes last night.
No, I don't know if he did. Maybe the one when the, well, no, one kind of
clinked around and dropped.
Right. But Griso, I think, maybe just needs a slight shift in attitude. Not a change, but just a slight shift in attitude. And that's something we'll talk about a little bit later in the show. I thought that he was excellent defensively. You know, Friedel is going to get his, especially when South Dakota State doesn't have Doug Wilson. They're going to, he's probably going to take 25 to 30% of their shots, just the way it is. And they did what I thought was a pretty good job on him. Ultimately, though, I was impressed with Sam. They were double teaming on the pick and roll every time. And if he was unsure with the ball in his hands, or if he had struggled with that, they would have created turnovers. NDSU would have had gone a different way on offense. And I'm not saying they had some grand offensive performance, but 65 is going to be good enough for them to win most nights. Most nights it's going to be good enough for them to win. And I thought that that was a good move by Hendo. I thought, you know, double teaming Sam on the pick and roll was sensible because he hasn't shown that he won't turn the ball over. But like we said, I think he played 32, 33 minutes last night and two turnovers with 28-7. That's pretty impressive stuff. Another guy impressed me last night, and again, I would like to see just a little shift in attitude, a little shift in fire, and a little more swagger, is Malik Harden-Hayes. I thought he was excellent last night.
I think the huge reason why we had such a strong second half is Malik. That last, after that under four timeout, I think he went on like a 6-0 run by himself. He hit two threes, came down, and one foul. I mean, he was playing really well, played pretty well defensively too, but it was the attitude kind of shifted. You know, we were down 12, I think, after the four, and then he came out and just started firing, and it was, I mean, he was hot. He heated up pretty well. I mean, that was, Nate said the same thing on Twitter last night. He said MHH coming out to party.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, I think he has, you know, we talk about all the gifts. He's got length. He's got the ability to shoot the ball. He has athleticism. That little jump hook in the post shows he's got a little bit of craft. And I mean, if you can be somewhat functional on offense, he's going to have more length and athleticism defensively than the guys guarding him. You know, so if he's a little bit functional on offense, which he's been more than that, then you have the length and you have all the things that Coach Richmond loves. You know, I don't think South Dakota State's going to spend a lot of time in the mid-60s. They just beat Bradley 88-84. It's a team that, you know, but again, we're talking about the same type of stuff we said about Creighton and Kansas. Well, I bet they'll score a lot more than that against other teams. You know, that was a really good defensive performance in a loss. And NDSU needs to start finishing the games with the W, and that's, I think, what we have potentially a chance to see tonight. Another guy, Sam, that I thought provided a little bit of a spark was Desmond McKinney, someone who struggled early, as you would assume with a lot of true freshmen. I think a lot of folks looked at his high school shooting numbers and were a little bit concerned how he would translate to the college game. You've got to be able to space it out a little bit in the college game. But, and not that he's made it rain from three, but he's shown the ability to win a way in college, and that's with his quickness.
Yeah, I mean, you look at, he subs in at like the 15 or 16 minute mark in the second half, and I think we're down 13. And like you had said earlier, like you mentioned earlier, Hendo was doubling every pick and roll they had. He comes off a pick, and he's already so quick that Rocky's guys half like can't even get there. So a kid from the corners pulling in to try and be help side, we were able to just completely move the ball and actually get what looked like good looks. And, you know, when Dez is able to go ahead and attack that quickly and a defense has to completely swarm, you're going to get open shots and you're going to find guys that even drive and kick, because we saw that last night too. I mean, he passes it out to Malik in the corner. Malik can hit it up to Sam, and then Sam can attack and maybe kick out to Rocky again. So it freed up a lot, I think, just having him in, because he was just such a good change of pace. I mean, it's almost like what you and I had talked about, a Brandon Key that used to play at South Dakota State. Quick guy, and he played, actually, Dez played pretty good defense last night too, I thought.
Yeah.
But
and it's, I mean, that makes a lot of things interesting, because we reported last night, just because we happened to be there, that, you know, Donald Carter warmed up with the team. And for as much, you know, as folks like me just penciled him as the starting point guard, of course, pre-injury, but, you know, just penciled him in, well, Sam's going to, you know, play at the four and probably have Tyree play at the three, and obviously Rocky will be the five, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. These guys are playing out of position, or at least Sam is sort of playing out of position. And if Desmond plays this well, you start to like kind of search for minutes for Donald, you know, when he does make it all the way back. And I think they'll figure it out. If he's one of their best eight, he's going to play. You know, if he's one of their best eight or nine, he's going to play. And it'll be interesting to see how that integration happens. The way that coach's offense moves the ball around, though, there's no reason they can't play with two point guards. Right now they have none, it almost feels like, but there's no reason that Sam can't do the things that Sam is doing playing the three or the four. He just doesn't bring the ball up the floor. That's the only difference.
Right. No, and it'll be kind of like you and I talked about. I imagine it'll be baby steps with DC for a little bit.
Yeah.
Just because you don't want to hurt the guy. We have a competition waiver this season. You know, there's things that NDSU can do. And I say we as a college basketball community, we have the competition waiver. There are guys that can come back across. This is almost a redshirt year. So you get him healthy, he's got 2 years left.
Right. And what the other thing that we talked about last night too is, I will say this, there was someone that I had talked to and there was conversation that he just wasn't going to make it back. That by the time they would get medical clearance for him to play and feel good about it, he would just have missed too much. My humble opinion is that if you are warming up with your teammates on December 10th, you're going to figure it out by March 15th. It's just like it's sometime in the next 90 days, there's going to be a plan to put him in the game, unless he just isn't right or they stay perfectly healthy and Sam continues this way and McKinney, you know, blows up and they just say, sorry, Donald, open competition next summer. You know, and that
right.
That could happen, but I just don't think that there's no way that North Dakota State's going to stay perfectly healthy all year. There's no way they're not going to have a COVID issue here or there. And frankly, you know, when Dave recruited him, it was to be the starting point guard. It was to be Vinny's replacement. Vinny's gone, Sam.
Yeah, we heard that last night. Yeah, you and I heard that last night pretty abundantly clear in the Zoom meeting.
USD. The one main takeaway that I had after watching USD-UND was that these teams are not as good as they were last year. You can definitely see that USD misses, obviously, Hagedorn, misses Tyler Peterson, misses Tristan Simpson, misses a lot of the pieces that they had. And UND, of course, misses Marlon. How could you not miss Marlon? But the two guys that were first team All Summit League seem like they deserve it. Now, on the Rabracha side, that could be just a usage thing. Right. I think I don't know how great he would be if he had more talent around him, or how much use he would get if he had more talent around him. But he's a good player, and Amude is just flat out a good player. I think he might be the next Summit League guy that at least gets a look. I think he's got that level of ability. You know, Ade Merke getting a look from the Timberwolves, if you will. I think you could see Amude get a G League look. Certainly will have a professional career overseas, but I mean, he's that level of a kid. What we came out with, or what I came out with after that game, was, boy, if anything happens to Stanley Amude or Philip Rabracha, UND and USD are going to become borderline unwatchable.
It's going to be tough. I mean, those two, Rabracha last night, last year averaged 14.1, I think, has 26-6 last night. That's just, he has to score if they're going to win. And they did. But you and I talked about it, 3 minutes left in the game, you look up, Amude's got 30.
Yeah.
It was like, well, how? Yeah. When?
Yeah. It reminds me of John Conchar in that way.
Dom,
you felt every bucket. I did anyway. I felt like that. You felt every bucket. John Conchar could just kind of whittle his way through a game, and you'd be like, shit, he has 28-6-3. When did this even happen?
What time did this happen? Like, it was insane. It was so fast. And I mean, he came down and he had a couple threes, and I thought, well, he's probably 18 or 19, but 30 was,
yeah,
whoa. And you know, the thing with USD that's tough is that offense runs through Plitzewite and Amude.
And you mentioned Plitzewite, and folks, that name may come to be a little bit familiar. H.A. Plitzewite was offered a scholarship to play at North Dakota State and chose to go to Augustana, which was either, I think, defending Division II national champions at the time.
3 years ago.
Would have been close to home, obviously. A.J.'s mom, Dawn Plitzewite, is the award-winning head coach of the USD women's team, and coach wanted him to come play point guard up here. Honestly, probably would have been a pretty good fit as far as the timeline is concerned. Then maybe you have no Vinny Shahid. All things do, of course, happen for a reason. But with Plitzewite, I think he's definitely the top running mate for Amude. When things aren't going for Stanley, I think Plitzewite shows the ability to make plays for his teammates. Well, we saw him get to the rim himself a couple of times, use his length a little bit. He's listed at 6'2". I think he's a little taller than that. He seems a little...
Yeah.
Either that or UND's guards are short. One of the two. I thought Plitzewite was pretty decent, and that those two form an okay 1-2 punch, but USD is 0-4 in a different way than you... North Dakota State is 0-5. North Dakota State's favorite tonight in Las Vegas, and it's because they certainly don't have the, this sounds gross, but they don't have the quality of losses that North Dakota State does.
Right. Yeah, no, their moral victories are way different than ours. Just looking back at old games, I mean, like what I had just said, Amude and Plitzewite against Nebraska, they scored 69. It was a 5 or 7 point game.
Yeah.
They had 47 of those 69, those two. So, you know,
it's interesting you say that, because when we spoke to Coach on Tuesday, I think it was, either Tuesday or Wednesday, he was definitely willing to talk about Nevada and the way they played better in the second half. And he was happy to talk about Kansas and Creighton as positive steps for his program. He was pissed about Nebraska. He had nothing nice to say about the way they played in Nebraska. And I think Dave maybe thinks that Nebraska's not going to be very good this year, and that was an opportunity that they had to play a hell of a lot better.
And that's the other thing, is that if, as well as I know Coach, there is nothing more that he hates than back-to-back losses. And we're at 5 right now, I believe.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, 0-5.
So, you know, it's getting to the point where it's frustrating. You know, I mean, we just, as a unit, you look at it and think, we can't play a full 40 minutes. I mean, that's just probably what Dave said last night. We had a great second half. We just can't play first halves, is what he had said. So you have to come in, and the other thing that I just looked at was USD has yet to lead one of their four games at half.
Has North Dakota State, I suppose, but yeah.
Right.
Right. Against teams that aren't that good.
Right. Yeah. I mean, Colorado, Drake, Nebraska, and UND.
Sure.
Have yet to lead a game at half, have been out-rebounded in every single game they've played.
And that's a place where North Dakota State could have a big advantage tonight.
Right, and that was what was tough last night. I mean, how many second-chance opportunities did SDSU have?
Yeah.
You have to be able to limit your opponent to one shot. Otherwise, you know, the guys like Friedel are going to have.
Yeah, and that was too bad last night because there's no reason for, in my opinion, there's no reason for North Dakota State to lose to SDSU on the boards. They don't have an athleticism advantage. They don't have a height advantage. I don't know what the issue was there. If they weren't blocking out, if it was an effort thing. I don't think it was an effort thing, but I can understand, you know, giving up offensive rebounds to Kansas. I get that 100% yeah. of the way. I don't, like I've been saying, I don't really understand giving up offensive boards to South Dakota State without Douglas Wilson. They're not longer. They're not more athletic. You know, why did this happen? But that's kind of a tangential thing from last night.
Right, and the if they hold them to one shot every time and, you know, defend Amude and Plitzewit well, I don't see a way that USD is going to be, I don't know if they play that well.
Right.
With those two, and that's kind of it.
And specifically, we really were not a big fan of USD's bigs. And that's where you're going to see, I think, a huge advantage for North Dakota State. NDSU's lone first, you know, or lone All-Summit League player going into the season was Rocky Cruiser. I don't know if we've seen a game yet that Rocky would, like, want to put his name on. He's played fine. I mean, but we haven't seen a 20-10. We haven't seen a game where, you know, he shoots at 50%. You know, he's 3 of 6 from 3, has a couple of good post-ups, scores 18, grabs 10 boards, blocks 3 shots. Like, that night has not happened yet for Rocky Cruiser, and I think it's coming at some point. And I was a little disappointed that it didn't come last night. Dentlinger's an okay player, but he's not as good as Rocky. And I think Rocky is probably pretty sick of dealing with high major centers, specifically yeah. the kid from Kansas and so on and so forth. But he, I think, has a chance to eat tonight. The Nebraska transfer kid, 45, looked really slow. His backup, I don't think, is anything special. And just at the four in general, I don't love what USD can offer. You did see just a touch of Amude on Rabracha, and I think that's asking for all sorts of trouble with North Dakota State, because if you get Tyree Edie out there on South Dakota's center, you're going to have a problem. And the same thing goes for Malik and Sam and Tier this and that, and it just cross matching Rocky brings in a whole bunch of problems for South Dakota.
No, absolutely. And the three guys that they're going to play are 45 Brady Hyman, the Nebraska transfer.
Yep.
34 Tassos Kamateros from, I believe,
I thought he was okay.
I didn't think he was that bad.
Yeah.
I think all three don't have good feet, if I'm going to be completely sure. honest with you. But he actually was able to body up Rabracha pretty well.
Yep.
And then it's Nikola Zizic, 32. So all three of those guys had gotten blown by Rabracha, somebody who I don't think is as good an athlete as Rocky is. He's a very highly skilled shooter. He could shoot from anywhere in the mid-range.
Shit, he doesn't. That kid hasn't seen an 18-foot jump shot he didn't like.
No, and he was pretty buttery last night.
Yeah, actually. He was.
Yep. I mean, it's just tough to think that most of
what, it's okay to admit that good players are good even when they play at UND.
Right. Yeah, it's that stings a little. But just looking at it, it's tough for me to think the way that they have played, the Bison have played offense this year with having Rocky consistently out on the three-point line, that he can't pump fake and easily get by one of those guys.
Right.
Yep. And then it's like with the same thing with Dez. When you attack, you're going to pull guys out. So that makes it easy to kick out to a Malik or a Jarius or a Tyree or a Sam. It makes things much easier for your offense.
And I don't think Amude is bad defensively, but I do catch him maybe conserving a little bit of energy. And just because he is so much their offense, I don't think – because, and I would guess – you could maybe look it up there – I mean, how many minutes a game is he playing right now? I can't imagine that for as much as they use him and as much as they need him, I don't know how, like, you could go balls to the walls on D and on O and be that important to your club. How many minutes
a game he was playing? At 36 last night.
Yeah, well, there you go.
30 I mean, points in 36 you, minutes. And not a bad night.
He has the ability, I think, to be South Dakota's best defender, but I don't know if it behooves him to do that just because they need him to score. They absolutely need him to score.
Right. At what cost can he be the best defender on your team if you right. need him to have 25 to 30 right. every night you play?
So I want to kind of go off on another little tangent, and then we'll go into the keys to victory and kind of a score prediction. But I hope somebody kind of pulls Sam Griesel aside and just lets him know, you're the man. Because, as far as his pedigree, recruiting pedigree-wise, Creighton was interested. Craig Smith was getting every kid under the sun, and he was going to go play for Craig Smith. That's a big win for North Dakota State. There's a reason he started as a true freshman. I don't want to say it was preordained, but like that's the path to being the man. True freshman starters get the chance to be the man. And Sam, you're the man now. I'm not saying it's your team. I don't think you need to talk down to your teammates or things like that. But right now, the best basketball player at North Dakota State is Sam Griesel. And he needs to damn well act like it. I love the kid. He's too nice. He's too nice. He's too pleasant. He's too polite. Doesn't say much on the court. You need to be the effing man now. And I think that will propel him to shoot the ball a little bit more. And I think it will kind of understand where his teammates fall into line as well. It was Vinny. And then before him, it was Paul. Before him, it was L.A. Before him, it was Taylor. Before him, it was Ben. You go all the way back down the line. And this season has been a lot of who's the man. Sam Griesel, I think, has a chance in the next two games and then at TCU heading into this. And not that it's probably not even one of his goals. He probably doesn't care. But I think the best thing for this North Dakota State team is you go and play South Dakota State. Friedel's the man. Douglas Wilson might be whatever, the Summit League Player right. of the Year. Friedel is the man. Amude is the man. Rebrach is the man. And you go to NDSU, who's the man? I don't know. Sam, it's time to be the man. That's what I think.
But it's tough, too, because you look and I think what you just said, I don't know that they know who their man is.
Right.
Dave wants to be able to drain the clock and have long possessions. Like we said, I mean, 60 to 65 is perfect. For NDSU.
If you put a number on it, like I said, if you put a number on it, how many times, starting right now, forget the 0-5 start, because it doesn't matter. As Dave will tell you, in reality in our league, until there's a major elevation of one or two programs, the only thing that matters is those 3 days in March. And do North Dakota State fans want to go 6-16 and then head to Sioux Falls and win the title? No. I mean, they'll take it, but no, that's not the path they want to go down. But it's true to a point. You know, those 3 days in March are really, and then the subsequent entrance into the NCAA tournament, that's what matters. And you're pushing towards being the best version of yourself for that time.
Right, and that's, I think, with the non-conference, it's first season, second season.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just
and then kinda, postseason.
Yeah, and you're sharpening your blade for when you have to play South Dakota State and Oral Roberts on the road, which seems like they can just that's a tough stadium to play in.
Right.
Denver, tough stadium to play in, no matter how good Denver is.
Right.
And that's what's tough. And like I said, Dave wants it probably 60, 65 and would like to drain the clock, but you look when there's five, that's usually your go. 7 to 5 seconds is when you should yep. attack. They're still throwing the ball around.
Yeah.
And that's just somebody has to, and I hope it's Sam.
Yeah. And so the point that I was trying to eventually get to was, yeah, I think at 65 points, if you draw a line there, I would guess North Dakota State will win 70 to 80% of the games where they get to 65 for the rest of the year. They might win 70% of their games for the rest of the year anyway, just because I think that they're going to win a lot of games in conference, especially getting Oral Roberts and South Dakota State at home. The teams that I don't know that they're better than, they get at home. So you have a chance to go up to Grand Forks and split, or go up to Grand Forks and win two. You have a chance to, as you mentioned, go out to Denver, and they're not very good. And
right.
You have a chance to win two, and you start sweeping road series, and your end-of-the-year win-loss in conference starts to look pretty good. What do you think the Bison need to do to win this game tonight against South Dakota?
Have to get the ball inside. That was something they struggled with last night, and it was like you and I talked about, doubling on the South Dakota State, doubled every single pick and roll the Bison had. Could not get anything inside. You get the ball to Rocky, you get a cutter, NDSU has to be able to get the ball inside, and from there they can play inside out. They can get Malik shots, they can get Jarius shots, they can get a cut in. And the other thing is rebound the ball. You just have to limit South Dakota to one shot.
For me, I think what I would like to see from North Dakota State tonight is be leading at the under 16 and be leading at the under 12 of the first half. That really only happened against Kansas, and look what happened. Like, they just about beat one of the best 10 teams in the country in their house. All these other games, whether it's Nevada, Nebraska, certainly Creighton, and then unfortunately again last night against South Dakota State, they have shown that they will take a punch, but they shouldn't always have to work from underneath. They shouldn't always have to be taking punches. They can punch themselves occasionally if they'd like. And so that's my big thing. Get off to a decent start and then put those defensive clamps down. Be firm with Amude. Plitzewite's not going to bug them. I don't think they have the ability to get into the interior the way that Dentlinger and Apple did last night. I think this is a game where, as long as North Dakota State starts off decently, they have a chance to maybe run away and hide with this one a little bit. I think the line is 4 right now. I do like North Dakota State, and I'll just go ahead and make my score prediction. I do like North Dakota State to cover tonight. I think it's going to be 67-57. I think it won't be like some epic ass-kicking, but this is the game where I think everyone in that locker room is so ready to win, and they can see it in front of them that they're the better team, and I think they go out and get a win tonight.
Yeah, and I think that might be Coach Richmond's challenge to the boys at the beginning with his pregame speech, is go on a 10-0 run to start.
Yeah.
You know, punch these guys in the mouth. Do it for you. You can't just keep digging out of a hole.
Right.
That will not win you games. And I mean, you saw it last night after that turnover. I don't know why they put 10 seconds on a tenth of a second on the clock.
Right.
But every single one of those kids looked like they just lost the big one.
Yeah.
They were heartbroken, devastated. So I think the challenge is
they're ready to win.
Go out,
yep,
and dominate the first half. I would say it's 72-62.
All right. Bison Report Radio brought to you today by Rise Training and Fitness in Moorhead, Minnesota. Rise is put together by a North Dakota State football legend, Chase Morlock, and his buddy Aaron Lean, former basketball star at Minnesota State University Moorhead. They offer really, really good training with both adults and college and high school athletes trying to improve in their craft. Adults, of course, just try to get in shape, try to lose a little weight, try to extend your time on this earth. They are in a little bit of a restriction right now with the state of Minnesota, with all health clubs being shut down. But they've done just a phenomenal job with their Elevate app and what they're doing online. Great workouts you can do in the comfort of your own home, oftentimes with just free weights or just body weight, not stuff. You don't need to go out and spend $300-$400 to do these workouts on the Elevate app. Give Rise Training and Fitness a try, and then when we finally beat this damn COVID thing, head over to their shop in Moorhead and get in better shape. Sam, anything to add before we head back to the Pentagon?
I just would like to see a win tonight.
Yeah, I think a lot of Bison Nation would like to see a victory. I don't think the 0-5 next to this team's logo makes a ton of sense. All right, everybody, we will catch you with a breakdown and preview of the UN breakdown of USD and preview of UND tomorrow. Stay safe and go Bison.